Blog Talk. Always Ascending inspires listeners to live life consciously and intentionally by reaching, growing, learning, climbing, becoming, and achieving all that they are capable of. Always Ascending inspires us all to see our life's experiences, the joys and the challenges, as part of our ascension to becoming better human beings. Always Ascending is about purifying and celebrating our life's journeys and our life's experiences. Welcome to Always Ascending. Greetings, everyone. This is Akanke calling in from Saudi Arabia, where it is 6 a.m. in the morning. And I'm so glad that you are joining us this morning for me, probably in the evening for most of you who are probably listening in from the U.S. But I know that I have some people who are listening in also from Saudi, and I welcome all of you and appreciate your joining in on this conversation about self-actualization. This is an interactive talk show, and that means that I would love for you to call in because we want to hear from you and about your journey in life, about your journey as a person, becoming all that you can become, striving in life to be the best that you can be, which does come with peaks and valleys, and it's from all of this that we learn how to be stronger and how to keep ascending. My name is Akanke Tiamoya Abdulkhalik. I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'll try to be quick about that. I'm a multifaceted person. I'm a creative woman mostly. I do a lot of things. I'm a certified professional life coach. I'm a television and radio producer. I'm also an artist. I do graphic design. I do abstract painting. I do voice acting. And I find that my creativity is really a big part of my peace in life. I find that I have to be creatively expressed, and I think the Creator has put in all of us a need to have creative expression, and I encourage everyone to really seek and express that creative talent that they have, whether it's writing or singing or acting or being a mother or being a father. You know, creativity can be expressed in so many ways. I'm Muslim. I am also African-centered. I'm African-American, and being African-centered means that there was one point on my growth of self-actualization where I realized that I had been disconnected from my ancestry in terms of my spiritual and psychological understanding of who I am and my ancestors and where I came from. And so there was a point in my life where I really had a need to reconnect to that and let that help me to move forward in life and celebrate who I am and accept all that I am. And that was actually changing my name to Akanke, by the way. It's an African name. It means to know her is to love her. And Tiamoya is also an African name. It's Swahili. It means one who inspires and assists in all things good and beautiful. And Abdulkhalik is my married name, which means the servant of the Creator. I think names are very important because the names are what we and others call us. And in calling us, we essentially are calling us to our higher selves. And I really felt that in my journey of self-actualization, I wanted to have a name, number one, that connected me to my African ancestry and also that had a greater meaning. When I told my mother that I wanted to change my name, I first asked her what my name meant. She named me Leslie. I was born Leslie Ann Rollins. And she said that she didn't name me that name because of a meaning, but that she named me after someone. I think it was Leslie Uggams, I think. I can't remember now. But I had that conversation with her, and I told her that I wanted to change my name. She, of course, had mixed feelings about it, but she was always supportive of me because she knew that I was always doing something different. And ultimately, I think she understood. My mother's deceased now, God rest her soul. And she's the one who really has given me a lot of my strength. I believe I get my strength from my mother. And I get things from my father, like warmth and being personable. It's interesting because my mother and my father were, in a way, kind of opposite of what you generally think of the mother's role and the father's role. My mother was very strict, and she was loving but very strict. You know, she raised me with a hard hand, if you will. And my father was always the one who would step in and say, "Oh, what's wrong, baby? Are you okay?" You know, so it's very interesting. But I'm a wonderful blend, I think, of what they have both given me and what the Creator has blessed me with through them and through my family life in general and through my own seeking to become who I am today. So I thought I was going to be short, but that was kind of long, wasn't it? but I just wanted to share with you something about me. I'm married. I've been married for 3 years, and my husband and I live here in Saudi Arabia. So let's move on to what to expect on Always Ascending. This is the second show of a series of shows about self-actualization, which is simply the process of personal growth in which we always work towards becoming the best that we can become and reaching our potential. So the opposite of self-actualization is self-declining, where a person, for different reasons and circumstances, do not grow and instead over time become less than what they are innately capable of becoming. Always Ascending is a 30-minute talk show, but today we're going to go for an hour because last week we had some technical difficulties and I couldn't call in. So we're going to go for an hour today because I really want to move the show forward so that we can really start looking at the characteristics of a self-actualizing person. And there are 16 of them. Today, I'm going to talk about what the five basic human needs are, which self-actualization is one of them. And then towards the second half of the show, I'm going to talk about the 16 characteristics of a self-actualizing person. And I do want to emphasize that self-actualization is a process that never stops. I think that's the beauty in life because you never stop growing and you're never too old to start growing. You may be a person who has been in a lull, not moving forward the way you want to move forward in life, but it's never too late. And you may be a person who's been growing and been on a path of self-actualization for many, many years, and you will never stop. Because I'm telling you that this process of really living life consciously and choosing your actions consciously and directing your life consciously is such a wonderful journey. Really, when you started out and you try some of the principles of positive self-thinking and self-actualization and you see how they work, it's so addictive because you really get to be in life in a way that's very, very empowering, very exciting. And you get to see yourself grow and you get to see others grow. And you get to see life differently because really when you get on the journey of conscious awareness and self-actualization, it just changes your whole worldview and many things happen on the journey and it's different for everyone. The path will lead you to a place that only is destined for you in the way and the way that you get destined for you based on the Creator's plan for you. And as a spiritual woman, as I said, I'm Muslim, so as a spiritual woman, I do believe that self-actualization is really grounded in spirituality and an understanding of the fact that we are not just people. You know, our bodies are just facilitating our soul's journey. And one way to explain that is that there's an Islamic philosopher, Al-Ghazali, who makes a comparison of the soul and the body to the horse and the rider. So there's a horse and there's a rider who mounts the top of the horse and rides the horse through the terrain of the mountains, of the countryside, the beachside. I mean, you can imagine wherever the horse is going, it's being led by the rider that has mounted it. And the same is with the soul. The soul has been connected to our bodies for this journey we call life. And therefore, it is really our soul that's guiding us through life. And once our bodies, once our physical bodies are no longer alive, or once our soul's journey is over, our physical body will cease to exist. And I shared this on the last show, that this became very clear to me when my mother passed. She was laying there in the hospital. When I got there, she had already passed, and there were some other family members there. And when I walked in the room, it was, you know, other people were there, but it was almost as if it was just me and her there, because I had this sort of out-of-body experience where I realized, wow, my mother has died, and she can no longer laugh, she can no longer cry, she can no longer feel the pain of her illness, and she can no longer fuss at me as she sometimes would do. And that she couldn't do those things anymore because those things were a function of her soul. Her soul was gone. And that, you know, you hear that and you, you know, we hear that, you know, we're spirits in physical bodies, but to really get that, it takes a certain deep thought. I mean, we can understand that intellectually, but to experience that in a sort of more profound way that brings an epiphany, a new awareness, is quite amazing. And I believe that death is one of the most, one of the greatest teachers for those of us who are still living. When you lose a loved one, it really teaches you a lot about life. It causes you to reflect on their life, on your relationship with them, and on your life and your relationship with them, and more so your relationship with yourself and with God, with the Creator, the one who is blessed you with life and breath to begin with. So let's go ahead. I want to give you the number to call in. The number to call in is 917-889-3669. Again, the number to call in is 917-889-3669. If you want to share your stories, anything that has happened to you in your life that you feel you want to share with us, we welcome that. And if you have any questions also, we welcome your questions as well. What I want to start out talking about first are the five basic human needs. These are human needs that, according to psychologist Abraham Maslow, it's the theory of human motivation. There are things in life that we need as human beings, and once certain needs are satisfied, we are motivated to pursue higher needs. So in 1943, Abraham Maslow wrote an article called A Theory of Human Motivation, which appeared in Psychological Review, and it was further expanded upon in his book Towards a Psychology of Being. And in this article, Maslow attempted to formulate a needs-based framework of human motivation, and based upon his clinical experiences with humans. He was a psychologist, and he used his experience rather than prior psychological theories of his day from leaders in the field of psychology such as Freud and B.F. Skinner. Their frameworks were largely based upon animal behavior, which is very interesting. From Maslow's theory of motivation, modern leaders and human beings, basically, we have motivation that's based on five basic human needs. And we're motivated by unsatisfied needs primarily. And these are, he diagrams these in a pyramid. So it's called the pyramid of human needs. And at the top of the pyramid is self-actualization, which is what this show is all about. Yet in order to really become a self-actualized person, you have to satisfy more urgent needs as a human being. And these needs are physiological needs, safety needs, love, and esteem, and I'm going to talk about those now. Our physiological needs, just imagine you're standing in front of a pyramid and you want to get to the top, which is self-actualization. The base of the pyramid, which is the widest part of the pyramid, is where we begin. It's where we have our most important needs met, and those are our physiological needs. And that includes basic things to help keep us alive, like eating, drinking, sleeping, having physical contact with people. It's you know, if we can't eat, if we don't have water to drink, if we don't have air to breathe, we are like one foot in the grave. And it's easy to see, if we don't have those things, that we cannot ascend on our journey towards self-actualization. We have to make sure these needs are met on a regular basis. When we were born, our parents, our mother, primarily, help facilitate those needs for us. And throughout life to this day, those needs are met for most of us. And unfortunately, in the world, there are people whose needs for water and food are not met. And we pray for those people. We pray for those who are living in situations in war zones, for example, which we'll talk about when we talk about the second level of the pyramid of human needs. But when you think about people who are really starving and people who are not able to eat, you know, we have sympathy and empathy for them. And some of us do things when we can to help those people, like feeding the homeless, et cetera. But you can just imagine that it's difficult to, you know, be motivated to become fully self-actualized if you don't have those needs met. So the physiological needs are the basic needs, some primary needs, the most important needs. And once those needs are met, we can move to the second level. We can ascend up the pyramid of human needs to the second level, which are the needs of safety. On that level, the needs of safety include property, having shelter, a place to live, having family, having resources, having a job. Safety and security also means feeling secure in your environment, in your surroundings. You know, I'll just use an extreme example. If you're in a war zone, you don't feel safe and secure. You know, sirens everywhere, bombs are going off everywhere. It's a sad reality today that there are so many wars going on. I think unjust wars going on in our name, especially for American citizens, that takes the lives of millions of people and usurps the quality of life for women and children in foreign countries. And in the U.S., we also have issues with safety and crime, et cetera. So on the pyramid of basic human needs, once we have managed to stay alive physically by having the needs on the first level met, we move to having our safety needs met, having a place, a safe place to live, having access to resources. Even, for example, if you don't have a secure job, you have access to resources that can help you maintain yourself on a regular basis. Just feeling secure in life and feeling safe. And once we have satisfied those human needs, according to Maslow, the third level of human needs are the social needs. And on this level, we have a need to feel loved, to give and receive love, and to feel that we belong. Again, the family unit is one way to satisfy those needs, as well as having, you know, friends, extended family, et cetera. But we all, as human beings, have a need to feel loved. I say that two of my most favorite things in life are love and laughter. So, I've always been the type of person that had a need for warmth and affection, and I'm also a warm and affectionate person. As I said earlier, I get that from my father and my mother in different ways, though. And so as human beings, we have this need to belong in a group, to be with other people, whether it's a family unit or no matter what kind of family unit that is. Because someone asked me the other day, you know, to give an example of a family unit, you think of your mother and your father, but what if you, for some reason, you were orphaned as a child and you don't know who your mother and father are, but you have someone who raised you. You have someone that you do know you can call a mother or a father. You have friends and family. So there are different ways that family life and social belonging and love manifest. And it just depends on our journey and how our life has unfolded. Whatever that way is that it shapes up in your life, that need can be met in different ways. The need of having love and belonging, which is the third level on the pyramid of basic human needs. And once those needs are satisfied, we move to the next level, which is the fourth level, called esteem. And in this level, human beings have a need to feel esteem. That is, to feel self-esteem, to feel confident, to feel respected. And also on this level, we respect others. On this level, we find achievement, we find acknowledgement. So achievement might be getting a degree, or you know, graduating from high school, or you know, moving on to higher education, or getting a promotion on your job, or just doing well in life in general. There are many ways that that can manifest. And on this level, we feel we've accomplished what you know, the things that we've set out to accomplish in life, and it helps us to feel more confident and have esteem. And again, it helps us to have mutual respect in our relationships on that level of esteem. And once we've completed the esteem needs or have satisfied those esteem needs as human beings, we can then really begin to focus on becoming self-actualized. So we're at the top of the pyramid now, and at the top of the pyramid is self-actualization, where we really can devote some time to becoming all that we can become as people who are working towards being self-actualized. And I'm going to take a break now, and when we come back, I'm going to continue the conversation and talk about the 16 characteristics of being a self-actualized person. And I want to remind everyone of the number to call in. It's 917-889-3669. Do you have something to share? Do you have a story of your own about your journey through me having your needs met as a human being? Have you had some challenges that you've faced in life? And do you want to just share where you are on your journey? If so, call in to 917-889-3669. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh. I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit card.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
Every year, thousands of teens age out of foster care and face life on their own without the love and support of a family. For over 25 years, the Orphan Foundation of America has provided a safety net of support for these vulnerable young people. With OFA's help, these youth graduate from college and trade school, progress to exciting professional careers, and make the leap from foster care to success. Find out how you can support America's foster youth. Log on to orphan.org. That's orphan.org.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. This is Akanke Kimoya Abdul-Khalik, and now we're going to talk about characteristics of self-actualizing people. And as I said, I want to reiterate that self-actualization is a process. It's one that does not stop. You never just get to a point where you're there and you no longer grow. I just cannot imagine that. We're never too old to grow, and I pray that for the rest of my life I continue to grow and become all that I can become. And I also want to say that one important characteristic that we'll learn as a self-actualizing person is to reach out and help other people. And so this show, Always Ascending, is one way that I want to help others, because I know when I first discovered self-discovery, which was back in 1989, it was it just changed my world, really, and it led me to become who I am today. And I'll share that story with you briefly. In my mid-20s, and a friend of mine invited me to a seminar. The seminar was called Loving Relationships. And the purpose of the seminar was an evening seminar to talk about improving life through improving the relationships we have with other people. And it shined a light on who we are. So it's not about other people, really. It's about who you are in those relationships, who you are in life. And I'm the type of person, I'm sensitive. So I am the type of person who, when I walk in a room, for example, I don't just see what's in the room, but I also feel the energy that's in the room. When I talk to people, I hear what they say, but I also feel what they're saying and perhaps what they're not saying. And so when I went to this seminar, it was quite an experience, because it affected me on different levels. When I walked in the room, there was wonderful music playing, sort of like the piece that you heard me playing before we came back from the break. And there was aromatherapy in the room, and the energy was really wonderful. I felt like I was in a room with people who were really nice people, cool and excited about life, and just you know, the light in the room was really wonderful. So I didn't know what to expect. I had never been to a seminar like this, but it was a seminar that was led by someone who had written a book. Her name was Sandra. Her name is Sandra Ray. And it was about, as I said, cultivating a better life by looking at ourselves and how we relate to other people in life and how we take the journey in life. And it was all about self-affirmation and positive thinking and looking at the negative patterns that we have in life and changing those through our thinking and through from our thinking to our actions. And this was the first time I had exposure to positive self-thinking or positive thoughts and positive self-affirmation. And the evening seminar was an introduction to what was a weekend seminar. And I ended up signing up for the weekend seminar. And from that, I ended up signing up for a six-month program where I actually quit my job that I was working at the time, and I moved to New York, and my life has been so much different ever since because it turned me on to the fact that I could create the life that I really wanted, that my life was fine then, you know, it was normal, so to speak, and but I realized that I could have more than I had then, not materially, but I could be more than I was at that time, and it just turned me on to the science of positive thinking and self-actualization, and it's been a wonderful journey ever since then. It ultimately led me to shining the light on myself, on my soul, on my actions, and it ultimately led me to become more African-centered, which led me to change my name, which led me to do other things, and which ultimately led me to become Muslim also, because I believe the journey of self-actualization ultimately leads you to a better relationship with the higher power, with the divine, with the creator, with Allah, Yahweh, God, whatever you may call that divine entity. So let's go ahead and talk about the characteristics of self-actualizing person, and there are 16 of them. And as I'm sharing these characteristics with you, I want you to think of where you are in terms of rating yourself. Are you a self-actualizing person? And, you know, what are your strengths and your weaknesses? So you can score yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. You know, 10 being that you are definitely emulating this characteristic, and 1 being that you are not. Okay, number 1, the self-actualizing person has more efficient perception of reality and is more comfortable in relationship to reality. He or she can accept the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, and can tell the difference. So again, the self-actualized person has a good perception of reality. They're not in denial about anything. They see reality for what it is and is comfortable with it. You know, they don't deny it because they can't deal with it. They accept reality, and they accept the good and the bad of it, the highs and the lows, and they can tell the difference. So how do you rate yourself on that one? The second characteristic of a self-actualizing person is acceptance of self, others, and nature. The self-actualizing person sees reality as it is and accepts responsibility for it. He or she is as objective as a person can be in terms of their perception. So you accept yourself and others and nature, and you are as objective as you can be as a person about how you perceive yourself and others and nature. Number 3. The self-actualizing person has spontaneity, simplicity, and naturalness. In other words, this kind of person is not hung up on being as others think they should be. This is a person who is capable of doing what feels good and natural for themselves because they know how it feels. A self-actualizing person does not try to hurt others, but has respect for what is good for himself. So in the sense that you are spontaneous, you're simplistic, and you're natural, you do what you feel is right for you, but you don't do it to hurt others, but you just do it because you respect what is good for yourself. Number four, a self-actualizing person is problem-centered. The self-actualizing person is someone who is generally strongly focused on problems outside of him or herself and is concerned with the problems of others and the problems of society and is willing to work towards alleviating those difficulties. And this is so true. You know, we see, as a self-actualizing person, personally, I see the challenges that I may face in life not as challenges or problems, but as challenges, opportunities to grow. And that's why I use the philosophy of always ascending, that anything that happens to me, good and bad, or, you know, things that are warm and fuzzy and things that may make me feel uncomfortable are all there to teach me something. And so therefore, I go beyond myself and look at the problems of society. I'm an advocate for different causes, for example, and I am part of the truth movement to advocate truth in terms of especially things that we learn through the media and television and radio, the things that we're told, to seek the truth beyond what we're told and to investigate what we're told, to find out what's really going on in the world and politics and government and foreign policy, et cetera. So that's just one of the things that I advocate in terms of being a problem-centered, outwardly focused person. And where do you rate yourself in terms of that quality? The next quality of a self-actualizing person is the quality of detachment and the need for privacy. For all of his or her social-mindedness, the self-actualizing person has a need to be by him or herself or a need for solitude. He or she enjoys time for quiet reflection and doesn't always need people around. He or she can be with the few people that they choose to be close to and doesn't really even need to communicate with them. Your presence alone is sufficient in and of itself. So the quality of detachment, the need for privacy, the time alone to reflect, and to be around people that, a few people that you feel you're close to, but even just for their presence and not necessarily to communicate with them. The sixth quality of a self-actualizing person is autonomy. Autonomy is independence of culture and environment, because the self-actualizing person is capable of doing things for him or herself and making decisions on his or her own. He believes in who he is and what she is. I'm going to use those pronouns randomly, he or she, because I don't want this to be gender biased. So again, number six, autonomy, independence of culture and environment. The self-actualizing person is capable of doing things for herself and making decisions on her own. The self-actualizing person believes in who he is and what he is. Number seven, continued freshness or appreciation. The self-actualizing person experiences a joy in the simple and the natural. For example, sunsets are always beautiful, and she seeks them out. He can still enjoy playing the games he played as a child and having fun in some of the same ways he did many years ago. So the seventh quality of a self-actualizing person is freshness and appreciation. Number eight, the mystic experience, the peak experience. Self-actualizing people usually have experiences in which they literally feel like they are floating. They feel very much in tune or at one with the world around them and almost feel as if they are, for a momentary period in time, part of a different reality. And that is so true. We have, you know, sort of out-of-body experiences. It's sort of like the experience that I had when my mother passed. I explained that at the beginning of the show, where you just feel like you're part of another world and you have this epiphany, this awareness, a mystic experience that helps you to grow and see things differently. The ninth quality of being a self-actualizing person is a feeling of togetherness. Self-actualizing people have a feeling for all of mankind or womankind or humankind. They are aware and sensitive to the people that are around them. They are aware and sensitive to the people that are around them. And there's a feeling of togetherness. The 10th quality of a self-actualizing person is interpersonal relations. Self-actualizing people have deeper and more profound interpersonal relations than other people. They are capable of fusion, greater love, and more aligned identification that other people could consider possible. They generally tend to have relatively few friends, but those relationships are deep and very meaningful. Again, the 10th quality of a self-actualizing person is that of interpersonal relations, where they have deeper and more profound interpersonal relations than people who are not on the path of self-actualization. They are capable of greater love, and they generally tend to have relatively fewer friends, and those relationships, though, are very deep and very meaningful. And I want to say that this is not to judge other people, because to some degree or another, before I got on the path of self-awareness, I was superficial or didn't really have some of the qualities that I have now as a person who seeks a path of growth and self-actualization. And when you meet people who you know or you sense are not being self-actualized because their focus is more on, instead of inner focus, their focus is an outwardly focus, you don't judge them. You just recognize, number one, that they are your mirror. They are reflecting that part of you that may still be like that, or that part of who you once were, and it gives you compassion. It gives you a way to relate to them and to share with them and to be with them. Okay, the 11th characteristic of a self-actualizing person is the democratic characteristic structure, or the democratic character structures. Self-actualizing people tend to believe in the equal nature of human beings, that every individual has a right to say, and that each person has his strengths, person has his weaknesses. And I just gave a good example of that. You know, people, we are who we are, and we believe that we all have the right to be who we are. And we can see our own strengths and weaknesses, as well as accept the strengths and weaknesses of other people. Number 12, self-actualizing people are discriminating between means and ends, between good and evil. Self-actualizing people, in other words, know the difference between those things and do not twist them in a way that hurts themselves or others. So you don't twist the ends and the means and good and evil. You discriminate between the two, and you just accept them. It goes along with one of the other qualities that we mentioned earlier, about the quality of accepting others and being spontaneous. You accept things as they are, and you discriminate between good and evil. You have some discernment about those things. Okay, the 13th quality of being a self-actualizing person is philosophical and unhostile sense of humor. Self-actualizing people tend to enjoy humor. They like to laugh and like to joke, but not at the expense of others. They are generally seen as good-natured, even though they are capable of being very serious. Wow, that's so funny. Because this makes me think of my sister Candace. Whenever I'm around her, I laugh so much. And some of my friends, Najiba, and you know, just my friends who know me, when I'm around them, they know they can make me laugh. And when I laugh so loud, sometimes it can be embarrassing because I love to laugh, but I'm also, other people know me, I'm also a very serious person. I can be so serious about life, because life is serious, y'all. It is really serious. I mean, this journey between life and death is the deal. You know, you've heard people say, like, when someone dies on their tombstone, it says from 1950 to 1999, the dash is the two. The two is represented by the dash, and that's what really counts. Not when we were born or when we die, but what we did with the time in between. So have fun in life. Enjoy wonderful humor, not at the expense of others, and balance that with being serious about what life is all about, you know, but have fun. Okay, the 14th quality is creativeness. Self-actualizing people are capable of being highly creative. Creativeness can be expressed in many dimensions by writing, speaking, playing, fantasies, or whatever. But self-actualizing people do have moods of being creative. And Maslow has said that a first-rate cook is better than a second-rate painter. So, you know, cooking is definitely a form of creative expression. And as I said earlier, even parenting. I mean, when you see people who are wonderful parents, you see their rhythm, their pulse as parents. You see how it impacts their children. And you just love it. You fall in love with them and their children, and you just acknowledge them because they are good parents. And that is such a wonderful thing. We need more good parents, and we need to learn more about good parenting skills as well. You know, they say nobody wrote the book on life and how to parent, but you certainly learn once you start having children. I don't have any children of my own, but maybe I'll be blessed to. But, you know, if I don't, I do have children in my life that I have in some way or another claimed as my own and helped to contribute to raising them and influencing them. And I wish I could do more, and I want to do more. But I do find that there's this quality that the Creator has put in me for nurturing. So I have a need to nurture others and had that parenting, that opportunity to exercise parenting, even though I don't have my own children. Okay, and let's go to the 15th quality. Resistance to enculturation, the transcendence of any particular culture. Maslow feels that the individual is above his culture in some way, that he maintains a strong individuality and is not absorbed, that he cannot evaluate the culture objectively in such a way that he can make decisions about what is best for him and those he cares about. And this is true. You know, as an African American, I mentioned earlier that part of my journey to self-actualization was becoming African-centered, reconnecting with my African ancestry, my African identity. And one way that manifested was, you know, I just began to study more about African culture and embrace my African identity more. My blackness, if you will, because to be honest with you, those of you who are listening who are not African American, you may not know this, but through the process of being African in America, there's so much negativity that we endured during slavery, for example, where our identity and our culture and our names and our religions, and so many things about being African was taken away from us. And even in being taken away from us, we were taught that it was bad, it was ugly, it was wrong, it was, you know, less than being human. And so in many ways, our culture and our people are healing from the vestiges of slavery. And sometimes when I see characteristics in myself or other people that I connect to that experience, I call it plantation ghosts, where, you know, there are still things that we're healing on. And I found on my personal journey, for example, I would look at myself in the mirror and not like some of my African characteristics. My nappy hair, my lips, and this is not because my parents didn't teach me to love myself, but this is because I grew up in a society where all the images of what beauty was someone that did not look like me. And so to some degree, we have to connect to our culture and celebrate that. And in so doing, we stand strongly, not arrogantly, but comfortably in our skin, whether we're, you know, whatever ethnicity we are, and then stand with other people who also celebrate their ethnicity, not out of arrogance, but just out of thankfulness of, you know, the journey that the Creator put them on. So in that sense, we are attached to our culture, but not, but also at the same time detached, because we are human beings and we connect with other people. And I say that people are only as comfortable with us as we are with ourselves. So, you know, being African-centered has given me wonderful, it really is a big part of who I am today, and has made me stand with other people. I have friends from various ethnicities, and I don't change who I am when I'm around them. I'm still Akanke, Timoria Abdulkhalid, African-centered, and in the many ways that it manifests, but also just a human being who sees and recognizes the wonderful qualities in other people. So it's really a beautiful thing to have that quality as well. And I'm not saying that I want to make sure that I'm not coming off as saying that I am all of that. I'm simply humbly just sharing, trying to give some personal examples of my journey of self-actualization. I'm still growing and every day find ways to grow and purify my heart and my soul and who I am. And I welcome feedback and criticism and all of that. So please don't take what I'm saying to be anything other than just a honest sharing of where I am and who I am, and just wanting to share who I am with you and being vulnerable in doing that. Okay, let's move on because we're almost out of time. We have 8 minutes left. The last quality is the quality, is the imperfections of self-actualizing people. Oh, this is so amazing because that's a good segue from what I just said. Self-actualizing people are individuals who are aware of the fact that they are not perfect. They are as human as the next person, and that there are constantly new things to learn and new ways to grow. The self-actualizing person, although comfortable with him or herself, never, ever stops striving. So this is so true, and I've said this repeatedly throughout the show today, that you know, you're going to meet people in the future on the show that will have been on their journey for a long time, and you will find these qualities in them. And one quality that you'll find in people who are self-actualizing is that they are always excited about the journey we call life and always excited about growing. So this is probably, I would say, one of the most important qualities, because if you start to see yourself as having arrived and as being perfect, you will stop growing. And, oh, I just have to share this. I'm so excited about this. I just had a major breakthrough within the past couple of months about this thing called perfectionism. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how many of you know about this boogeyman or boogeywoman or this gorilla called perfectionism, where you think that it's not so much that I thought I had to be perfect, but I thought the things that I did, the things that I manifested, if they weren't like 100% perfect, it wasn't good enough. And so I couldn't release this film because it didn't have the right shots, or it didn't have the right story, or it didn't have the right whatever. I couldn't finish this project because it didn't have something that I felt, it wasn't perfect. Oh my God, get over it, Akanke, and get over it. Anybody who's listening, who thinks everything has to be perfect, think they have to look perfect, they have to have the perfect body, the perfect whatever, get over it. You are perfect as you are. And see the beauty in your imperfection. See the beauty in how the Creator made you. There's so many examples of people in my life that just emulate self-acceptance. You know, it's just so beautiful. I'll give an example. This is not someone I know, but someone I met. I was at a car wash one day in Atlanta, and as I drove up to the car wash, there was a woman there who came up to, you could tell perhaps she had been homeless. And she came up to my window. They had people there who were helping them probably to make extra money to feed themselves. And she came up and washed my window, and she had the biggest, most wonderful smile on her face, and she had the worst teeth I had ever seen. Really. They were, a lot of them were missing, and the ones that were there were brown and chipped and just everything. But her smile was so beautiful, and I just fell in love with her spirit. And it was such a lesson. She wasn't ashamed of her teeth. You know, and how many of us, you know, complain about, oh, this or oh, that, we have to go get some whitening, or we have to go get some whatever done to ourselves, or if it's not about our teeth, it's about something else. Accept our imperfections. And doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of ourselves, don't get me wrong. Take care of yourself. But don't, you know, go out of your way to change what God has given you naturally. There's so much beauty in who we are naturally. Okay, so those are the 16 qualities. And what I want to say is that in upcoming shows, we're going to take one quality at a time. We're going to go back to the 30-minute format so that it's a shorter format so that you can get in and get out and get some nuggets for life, and golden nuggets, I should say, and move forward on your journey of self-actualization. So on the next show, we're going to take the first quality of the self-actualizing person, and that is the self-actualized person has a more efficient perception of reality and is comfortable in relationship with it. He or she can accept the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, and can tell the difference. So we'll take one quality at a time, and we'll have you call in, and perhaps we'll start having some guests on as well. I've had people email me to say that they would like to be on the show to talk about their journey. One person emailed me this week saying that he was homeless and went from being homeless to being a published author, and he wants to come on and share his story. There are other stories that can connect to this in so many ways, and I look forward to definitely bringing people on and also having you, the listening audience, be a guest on the show, because it's not about me. What I've done on the first two shows is just simply lay a foundation so that you can understand what the show is about, understand who I am, understand a little bit about my journey, and just sort of set the foundation for the shows that will come. I appreciate you all listening. I appreciate your willingness to take this journey of self-actualization together. I hear from you through email or chat, or as I said, you can call in and share your ideas with us. So stay tuned. Join us again next week. We'll be signing off the air soon. So join us next week, the same time, which is 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the West Coast in the U.S., which is 6 a.m. for me here in Saudi. Where we will talk about self-actualization, which simply is the process of human development where we strive to become the best that we can become, that we choose consciously what we think and what we do in order that we may become better tomorrow than we are today. Again, thanks for listening to the show, and thank you for being who you are. And remember to always ascend, to always grow, and to, when you reach a challenge or a valley, just know that it's something there to strengthen you, to change your perspective on your direction, and to help you grow. Peace and love to you all, and we will see you next week.
Hi, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to Always Ascending. We look forward to you joining us again next week.